Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. You are listening to NABWIC, the National Association of Black Women in Construction Blog Talk Radio Show, founded to increase the national awareness of black women in the construction industry. NABWIC is the charge and takes the charge for black women to advocate for further opportunities to its members. Our mission as a core foundation is to strengthen the building blocks of new educational, entrepreneurial, professional, and social network connections. The vision of NABWIC is to build long-lasting strategic partnerships with first-rate organizations and individuals that will provide groundbreaking and innovative solutions for black women in construction and their respective communities. We invite you to call or text or email family, business associates, or friends and tell them that we are on the air right now, or they can join us on the internet by logging in to www.blogtalkradio.com/NABWIC or by phone at 714-459-3918 and press 1 to join our conversation with questions or comments.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to NABWIC Talks Radio. I am Jada Williams, your host today, and I am the NABWIC National Blog Talk Chair, and I am so excited about today's show. But before we get started, you already know I have to ask you to please, like the commercial just said, go over and follow, like, and share on all your different social media platforms that you are hanging out with NABWIC, the National Association of Black Women in Construction, this morning. Because, yes, we are the voice of black women in construction. And or you can head over to our website at www.nabwic.org and find out how you can join, become a member, and yes, get your red shirt. We are known from joining up and going out with our red shirts on. So moving right along in this morning's show, we have an exciting guest today, Mr. Doug Wheeler. But along with Mr. Doug Wheeler, we will also hear words of wisdom from the master builder herself, Ann McNeil. And, of course, we have Ursula Odom from Solitude in the studio with us this morning. So good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining.
Good morning. So, great to be here.
Yes, Mr. Doug. Thank you for joining us. Let me let the audience, our listeners, our members know a little bit about you. Mr. Doug Wheeler is the president and CEO of the Florida Ports Council, which is also known as FPC, if you hear us mention those acronyms around. It is a nonprofit corporation that serves as the professional association for Florida's 15 public deep water seaports and their management. So, oh my gosh, you have a big role, a lot of responsibility over there with the Florida Ports Council. Good morning and welcome to the show, Mr. Doug. How are you?
I'm great. Good morning, Jada. Thank you for having me this morning. I look forward to just taking a little bit of time to share some information about our very dynamic system of seaports here in Florida.
Yes, indeed. So before we get the conversation started, because this is going to be an amazing conversation on port opportunities, because, yes, our next billion-dollar luncheon is coming up, is this Wednesday. We ask that you join us. Go over to Eventbrite and register, and you will get more information on port authorities. So let's take a quick commercial break while our audience and listeners, Mr. Doug, go grab their pens and pencils and get ready to take notes on this amazing conversation coming up with you.
Sounds great.
Today's show is brought to you by Ann McNeil, the master builder, building stronger and better lives and businesses, and by PepsiCo Frito-Lay Company, one of the largest food and beverage companies in the world, and by J. Perry & Associates, giving you the building blocks to grow your business. If you're joining us online, be sure to visit their websites, which are listed in the online description for this week's show.
To learn more about our advertising rates and packages for NABWIC Talks, contact Jada Williams at area code 786-702-1005 or email blogtalk@nabwic.org. And don't forget to follow us on Blog Talk Radio by visiting blogtalkradio.com/NABWIC. Thank you, and we're back.
Yes, we are back, and we have brought you exactly what you requested, more information, education, and resources. And today we have in the studio Mr. Doug Wheeler, who is the president and CEO of Florida Ports Council. So, again, welcome to the show, Mr. Doug. Could you open up with just telling us, first of all, a little bit about yourself and what it is that you do for the Florida Port Council?
Sure. So, again, I'm Doug Wheeler. I'm the president and CEO of the Florida Ports Council. I've been in this role for just over 10 years, almost hard to believe that's been that long, but it's been a good 10 years. Really cut my teeth in the construction industry, really more from the government affairs side of it, but worked for, in some form or fashion, Associated Builders and Contractors and some other contract associations in this government affairs realm. For almost 9 years, both here in Florida, as well as federally covering the Southeast. but I've always been really business-minded. I spent 6 years as a senior vice president over at the Florida Chamber of Commerce, and was a great time there to be a part of really building what has become such a tremendous force when it comes to advocating for businesses in Florida. And really kind of just stumbled my way into this role, to be honest with you. But this organization was looking for a little bit of a change and felt like my abilities in the area, certainly of government affairs and advocacy, but in communications and, partner and coalition building was something that I really highlighted as something that I find integral to really any organization, including this organization. And we've seen some real benefits from that. So, And then my role here at the Ports Council is just to help guide a dynamic team. We've got some great staff here working on behalf of really all of Florida's ports. They stretch from the Panhandle down to the Keys and back up the East Coast, and just trying to provide a collective voice when it comes to advocacy. We provide a lot of research and data, as well as marketing and communications. So it's an important role we play for an important industry. I think that people probably tend to underestimate what our ports are doing, at least from a catalyst, to economic activity. But annually they're supporting generally around 900,000 and well-paying jobs. The annual impact is about $117 billion in annual impact to the state. And these trade activities are contributing in excess of $4 billion in local and state tax revenues. So pretty significant economic impact from our state seaports and the trade that they're conducting.
Yes, very big impact. So what are the next big infrastructure projects needed to keep Florida ports moving forward since we have so much going on?
Well, I think this will probably be of interest to a lot of your members. It's important to understand that, our ports have had a real tremendous downturn, so to speak, when it comes to the impact from COVID. And that has certainly had a, pretty sizable impact on all areas of our operations. But fortunately, we're continuing with capital investments. As a matter of fact, the cumulative five-year capital investment plan for our seaports through 2024 is in excess of $3 billion. So a lot of that will go towards, adding capacity for cargo and crews. So certainly cruise terminals are a big part of, the development that, once that industry gets sailing again, it's going to continue to be a big part of what our ports do. And so cruise terminals and warehouses are certainly well up on the list of, in terms of what seaports will be investing in. And, of course, that includes, you know, dredging and things like that, but really all addressing, you know, capacity issues and making sure that our ports are able to keep up with the market demands. I mean, it's a big state. You know, we have over 120 million residents. We get, over 120 million visitors annually with about 22 million residents. So we have a big consumer market right in our backyard. And so our ports have to continue to invest in the construction and the development to make sure that they have the infrastructure and the assets they need to be competitive, really, in a global marketplace, not just Florida, but globally.
Right, right. So what do you think would be the biggest obstacles with moving forward with Florida ports then?
Well, I think for a lot of Florida ports in the short term, hopefully short term, it's getting the resumption of cruising back. I really can't underestimate the impact that cruising has on Florida and our seaports, many of our seaports. We have seven ports, about half that do cruise business, that have seen that business cease over the last 12 months and probably going to extend beyond that. You know, Florida is no doubt the cruise leader in the world. Florida is home to the top three, number one, number two, and number three cruise ports in the entire world. Prior to the pandemic, we were moving about 18 million passenger movements annually through our ports, and so to have that business just shut off like a faucet has been pretty tremendous. Been some pretty severe impacts not only to our ports but to a lot of the businesses that were associated with doing business at the port and the port communities themselves. So I think in the near term it's going to be making sure that we can get the resumption of cruising back, and then in the longer term I think it really just always comes down to, particularly at the federal level, of making sure that that the funding for the infrastructure improvements are there. And that's generally a challenge that, you know, our seaports face is construction is so important to the development, but it takes investment, and it takes investment from all levels of partners, including local, state, and federal. So that'll be something we continue to advocate for going forward.
Yes, and with I can identify with the cruise lines and logistics just a little bit, coming from a logistics background. I always remember the cruise accounts were always the larger accounts outside of pharmaceuticals, and very much so looking forward to those boat shows and the cruise shows down here in Miami, which have been on pause since COVID. So I do understand the importance of the cruise industry in the logistics realm, and especially on the port. So with that being said, so what are the roles when it comes to the ports that the state and local governments are playing in Florida's ports and infrastructure development then?
Well, so Florida is sort of a unique model, in the sense that we don't have a centralized port authority. That's usually reserved for states that have only a few ports. And so all of our ports have statutory ties to their local government. And that's really where a lot of that development starts, including from a planning standpoint, into making sure that as the port develops, that it's in line with the growth plans of that community. And it's really important that the community have that buy-in to the growth of the port. And then, of course, they're investing in their own port. Fortunately, many of our ports are allowed to use the revenues that they make throughout a year and take that and put it right back into the port. And it's sort of a perpetual investment strategy where they have to continue. Ports are very, very competitive. The industry is very competitive, and so particularly with cruise. And so our ports have to continue to work with our local and state and federal partners to make sure that the infrastructure and investment is strategic, right? We want to make sure we're not building it so they will come. We want to make sure that there's business ready to use the assets that we're providing. And we want to make sure that that asset is safe and that it's resilient and that it's efficient, right, both from a cost standpoint as well as from a use standpoint. And so these are all the factors that kind of go into developing these seaport capital investment plans that are actually tracked with the state and in partnership with the state so that we can continue to monitor where investments need to be directed.
Okay, cool beans. So we've heard a little bit about the infrastructure, the opportunities coming up in the future, and the background of the Florida Port Council. Now, how did you hear about NABWIC, and in what ways did you and others believe, with everything you just said, how NABWIC would be a good organization to develop a relationship or a partnership with?
Well, my exposure to NABWIC comes from my good longtime friend, Ms. Ann McNeil. In my time actually representing the construction industry for many years, and so we've had a long productive relationship. And I think, as I mentioned earlier, Jaden, when I came in to this role, one of the things I wanted to focus on was making sure that we were engaging with partners that either found value in that engagement with us, or likely, it was a two-way benefit. And whether that comes from working on legislative issues, so there may be organizations that we don't see eye to eye with all the time, but if there's an issue that we do see eye to eye, then we should absolutely work together on that issue. And then when the next issue comes up and we don't see eye to eye, then we can go our separate ways and wait for opportunities to work again. And so, or whether it's in engaging with, partnerships with organizations like NABWIC and the Florida Ports Council or the Chamber of Commerce or any other number of organizations that I think just from a pure, dialogue standpoint, I mean, it's always good to understand the mission and goals of organizations and how those might align with some of the objectives that your organization is trying to utilize. And then, of course, obviously the relationships that are able to come out of alliances or partnerships between organizations. Certainly I know Ann knows a thing or two about relationships, and I find them very, very strategic and very important and very valuable as well. So it was an easy yes when asked if we wanted to engage with NABWIC, particularly with the $1 billion luncheon tomorrow. So that was an easy yes for us.
Ms. Ann has that magic, and of course NABWIC tying everything in together, and we're so happy to have you. As a friendly reminder, Mr. Doug will be bringing us greetings at our national NABWIC $1 billion luncheon and $1 billion opportunities and port opportunities. But it is the national NABWIC $1 billion luncheon and port opportunities, guys. So you will want to tune in. Of course, everyone knows our $1 billion luncheon is always the second Wednesday of the month. So, yes, you still have time to go register and meet us for lunch where you can hear more words of wisdom from Mr. Doug. So moving right along in the show quickly, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll come back with more questions and answers for Doug and, of course, hear words of wisdom from the master builder herself, Ann McNeil, after this quick commercial break.
We are so excited to have you listening to NABWIC, the National Association of Black Women in Construction Blog Talk Radio Show. Please call, text, or email family, business associates, or friends and tell them that we are on the air right now. Or they can join us on the internet by logging in to www.blogtalkradio.com/NABWIC. Or by phone at 714-459-3918 and press 1 to join our conversation with questions or comments. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Don't forget to follow us by liking our page and post your questions or comments. NABWIC's intent is to always go into the high schools and colleges to encourage our young black girls and women to enter into the construction industry and to take interest into the STEM programs that are offered. We encourage you to listen to this show or past shows on the internet by logging in at www.blogtalkradio.com/NABWIC. Thank you, and we're back.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us. And we are back with Mr. Doug Wheeler, who is the president and CEO of the Florida Ports Council And, of course, up next we have the Master Builder herself, Ann McNeil, bringing us words of wisdom. Good morning, Ann. How are you?
Jada, I like to say if I were any better, I would be you. And I was just saying that I'm very excited to have my friend Doug Richard. I wanted to say this to you, Doug. I learned so much from you over the years and just watching your growth as you move over the years. And as we were talking during the pre-show, it's been since the 90s. We won't say what period in the 90s, but 90-something. And I think that our strategic relationship with organizations like ADC and a lot of other organizations teaches their way to do business with people that they know, that they like, and that they trust, regardless of race, creed, or color. And so on behalf of NABWIC, we're looking to have a strategic relationship with your organization and many other organizations like ABC, of course, and ADC and many others, because in order for our business owners and our members' relationships. So thank you for joining us this morning. And I do have a question I'd like to ask, and that is, what's your forecast, really, in terms of where we're going as an industry? What's your forecast for ports in the future?
Well, you know, Anna, I think it's good. If we can get this pandemic behind us, on all accounts, pre-pandemic, our ports were seeing increases across the board. Cruise was up, containers were up, volume was up, value was up. Then we get hit with this pandemic, which initially really even affected cargo, right? Because we bring in a lot of our fuels, and no one was driving or flying, and no one was building or buying. And the good news is that cargo is back up. We're actually seeing a few of our ports, particularly Port Miami even, noticed an increase in cargo, Port Everglades, Port Panama City. So several of our ports are enjoying strong cargo development right now. And I think that the thought is that will continue, certainly based on the investments that our ports are making in new warehouses. Refrigerated warehouses is a great new area where we're starting to see a lot of produce brought in and during the winter months and directly brought into Florida via vessel. So I think certainly our ports are bullish on the growth. That one caveat is cruise, and you just can't dismiss cruise when it has such a massive impact on our economy. I think we had done a projection that suggested that if it were back just through 2020, we would have lost about 9 million cruise passenger movements, so about half. And, of course, that number is going to be even more. And that just trickles down. That just has a way of trickling down. So if we can figure out a way to safely get cruise resuming, I think the outlook for our ports is great. And I think that the future development and expansion of trade. Our ports are trading right now with more than 200 countries globally. Obviously, a lot of that with a real strong presence in Central and South America, which shows several economies growing. So a long way to say that I think the outlook for trade and for port investment and development in Florida is very strong, and very strong.
Okay, and thank you so much for sharing with us and asking the question, Ms. Ann, on what the Florida port system will look like in the future. So, Doug, now I'm going to follow up with, so what do you say or how could you encourage our members, our listeners, to make sure we're a part of Florida ports in the future, the next 10 years? What can we do to be a part? Do we need to be certified, go take a class? How would you encourage us?
Well, I would honestly tell you to probably start, at the local level of where you're located, and there's chances are there's a port, pretty close. They're all going to have groups, propeller clubs, and things like that. So local business groups, where I think that's a great place to get firsthand knowledge and information on what's going on and what's coming at the port. It's a great way to build relationships with others you know, like-minded doing business at that particular port. We'd love to have everyone, you know, receive our Florida Ports Council newsletter, sort of a statewide overview. You know, every month we profile a particular port, calendar of events, sort of important industry events and so forth. So I would encourage everyone to go to our website and sign up for that, www.flaports.org. There's a wealth of information there, a wealth of contact information for your particular port or for any particular port you might be looking to engage with or do business with. And, of course, if there's ever anything that this organization can do to assist, we would urge you to please reach out. And all of our information is on the website as well. Again, that's flaports.org.
Okay, and thank you. So is that the way that our members or our listeners contact you? Is that where you want us to go?
I'm happy to give out my email address. It's Doug, D-O-U-G, at flaports.org. Of course, you can call us here at the office. We're located in Tallahassee, and we're happy to try to, you know, either steer you to the right folks at a particular port or try to help you track down any particular information, or if it's just generally some general questions about how our ports are situated. You know, it's a little different. I talked about that little different model where we don't have that that port authority. So while we would argue that the diversity of our ports is certainly a strength, you know, sometimes it can present some challenges, and so certainly there's no one-stop shop for wanting to start, you know, engaging or learning how to do business with a port. But we're certainly happy to be a resource for anyone that's going down that path.
Okay. Thank you so much for sharing. Now, are you ready for the hard question? Before we wrap up the show, could you share with us what's your favorite book, author, or what are you currently reading?
Well, I think, you know, I tend to be a history buff, so my favorite book is probably With the Old Breed, which was a story about a particular Pacific Rim battle during World War II. A real sort of tell the details of what those battles look like, and certainly gives you an appreciation for what that led to in terms of the things that we're allowed to do in our country. But actually, a friend of mine just wrote a book, and I've just have started chapter one. So we'll see. But it's called Never Lose to a NIMBY, or Never Lose to NIMBY Opposition. Again, NIMBY, right, not in my backyard. So these are a lot of the anti-development people. He's a former mayor of a small town and now does PR, and so he's offering some secrets and strategies and solutions to addressing NIMBY issues when it comes to development. So that might actually be a book that some of your members might find interesting as well. Any other hard questions you want to try to throw my way, Jada?
No. But thank you so much for sharing your friend's book. Congratulations, friend. Yes, it sounds like an amazing book that will help you with development. And, of course, the history book that you mentioned before sounds like a really good, interesting book as well. But, you know, we could stay on the air all morning long, but all good things have to come to an end. We have asked the questions that our listeners have sent in. So next time, you can always join us every Wednesday at 8:30 a.m. for our next show. And you can always press 1 on your phone to join the conversation. But for now, head over and register at Eventbrite for our National NABWIC Billion Dollar Luncheon and Port Opportunities. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Great to be here. I appreciate the time.
Thank you so much, Doug. You have a beautiful day, and I will see you at the luncheon.
Great. Take care.
This concludes our show. Thank you for listening to NABWIC, the National Association of Black Women in Construction. For more information about NABWIC and our membership, please visit us on the web at www.nabwic.org. We are the voice of Black women in construction. Have a great and prosperous day.